Good morning once again. So happy to have you with us in 2026. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is John, and I am the pastor here at this location of Bridge City Church. And we are just so excited to see you here this morning. I'm even more pumped because we're jumping into a new sermon series today called Seek First. And we're going to be looking at important things to be seeking in our lives as we move into 2026. So many people are prone to doing resolutions. I'm not anti-resolution. I just figure, why bother if you ain't gonna keep it? Plus, the word resolution at its etymological core literally means to resolve something. And if you could resolve what you need fixed, you'd have to go back to the problem. And God is saying, leave the problem in the past, move forward in the plans that I have for you in this new year. But before we get into the message this morning, I do want to give you, by way of update, where we landed, and I'm gonna have the production team hold off, where we landed on our Kingdom Builders offering. If you've been around here for the last several times we've gathered, we were taking up a series of offerings for families who are enslaved, Christian families who are enslaved in brick kilns in the nation of Pakistan. Our goal at the outset was to raise $30,000 because $3,000, roughly that amount, would be able to pay the family's debt, and their debts vary, and it would be enough to get them set up in apartments and get them some of the basic things that they need, ID, appliances, different things like that. So we set out huge number, and not just a huge number, man, huge number at the end of the year when most of you ladies had already gotten all your Christmas shopping done. Guys still hadn't even looked. I'm just gonna keep it real. The only people more surprised with what they get at Christmas than my kids is me. So we set out with this massive goal. Massive goal. Can I tell you, first, I'm going to brag on here, almost the entirety of that initial goal came out of this house. But for those of you that aren't aware, we are one church in four locations. So there were three other locations partnering together to see this amazing thing happen. And what set out as a goal of $30,000 to see 10 families saved has now landed, are you ready for this? $77,204. Yeah! Come on, somebody. Look, I don't know if you've got it or not. This is almost 26 families being set free, some of them from generational slavery. One of the families that we've already identified, that we already had, one of the original 10, they've been enslaved for almost 40 years. That means there's grandbabies who were born into slavery, and you just set them free. We did it. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I can't. And the thing that is mind-boggling to me in this is that last Sunday when we had the whole church deal here, we had two worship experiences, and I was doing very holy things in the restroom towards the end of the worship experience. And if you've ever been in the restroom or in the hallway as the service is going on, which most of you are, I can tell when we all fall in here, it's room doubles from the end of beginning of worship to the end, so I love it. And I heard Pastor Eric share the number that was just last Sunday, $58,925. I almost just started to weep. And I'm not a math major, that means almost $20,000 came in the last week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for making this happen. You did it. We did it. And if that's how we ended 2025, what might God have in store for us in 2026? If you have your Bible, I'm gonna invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament. It's about right smack dab in one of Jesus's most famous sermons, commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm gonna read from verses 31 through 33 here to kick us off. This is what Jesus says. So do not worry. Man, that's a good word for 2026, man. Some of you, just Selah, just soak on that. Just let that, get that into you. So do not worry, saying, because remember, the power of life and death is in the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So if you're tired of what you're seeing, maybe change what you're saying. That's just a word for 2026 for you. So do not worry, saying. See, worry's gonna come. Worry's gonna happen. But there's no sense in articulating your worry out loud. There's no sense. Could you imagine when God was creating everything by the word of his mouth, if he would have let worry or negativity seep out? No, everything God said was good. Why? Because he ended the day saying it was good. Maybe we should start our day by saying it is good. That's just a thought. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Why? For pagans, that's unbelievers, run after these things. And watch this, your heavenly Father knows you have need of them. I love it because at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching people three important approaches to faith, giving, praying, and fasting. And you're gonna get an opportunity to do all those this week as we go into our season of prayer and fasting. But he says to them, your heavenly Father already knows what you have need of. It is biblically inaccurate to wonder if God knows what you need or cares if you need it. Because he says right here, your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Now, I don't know about you and your relationship with your dad. I think I'm a good dad, but the Bible places God the Father above every other dad, because later in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is again trying to encourage people about not worrying and not getting caught up in stuff and getting frantic. Because he says, if you who are evil, that's all of you, I'm not as evil as the next, you're evil, okay? I only got a little bit of doo-doo on my shoe. It's not all over my pants. But you got doo-doo on you, okay? See, that's what we like to do. When we realize we can't measure up to God, we don't say, oh, God, save me. We say, well, I'm not as bad as the next person. But he says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good gifts? And he's talking about gifts there. These are needs, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. But verse 33, I love this verse so much. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Now, Jesus is speaking to people in the context of worrying about the basic necessities of life. Many of us live too much of our lives in that realm of worrying about the basic necessities of life. And I get it. Worry is natural. That's why you can't worry saying. Oh my God. Somebody get your pocket computer out, tweet that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says it like this: do not worry, but pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. See, God is trying to inject peace into our life so worry doesn't rob our lives from us. And he knows that we have need of these things. And so Jesus is speaking, and these are people in a subsistence culture. So if you had more than one set of clothes, you were wealthy. This is still the majority of the world today. That's why it's not enough to just set a family free. We got to set them up in a house, get them connected to a good church, help them get on their feet. And you've done that because you've got more than one set of clothes. But nevertheless, if you're not careful, you're going to go back into your life today. As soon as you leave this place on whatever high you hopefully get from experiencing the Most High God, and you're going to instantly slip into worry. So Jesus is speaking to people that have a lot more to worry about than you, and he's saying, don't worry. He's also reminding them something that's important. Pagans run after the stuff you worry about. Most of you right now, listen to me, and I'm not, look, you got to have responsibility to pay your bills, pay your taxes, do all the stuff that you're supposed to do. But running after those things is pagan. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. Running after, and I mean, look, like don't leave and say, Pastor didn't say I didn't have to go to work tomorrow. Because the Bible also says if you don't work, you don't eat. The thing of it is, instead of entering your workplace tomorrow, and whether it's a vocation that pays you money, or it's some snotty-nosed kids that you don't get any money, but you get all the joy in life, whatever you enter in tomorrow, don't enter it seeking to get something from it. Enter it looking for what you can deposit into it. But if you want to seek something, Jesus says this third thing. He says, look, the pagans seek after the stuff that you need, but I'm telling you, seek after the kingdom and all of this will be added unto you. Now see, that's a great encouragement because it's like, man, all of us are worried and all of us are looking to fill needs. Thank you, God. But the problem with it is this, it's easier said than done, isn't it? It's easier said than done. How many of you, if you were sitting on that mountainside while Jesus is preaching, you'd be sitting there looking at him like, that's easy for you to say, you're the God of the universe. You own everything. But then neglect to realize that that same God who owns everything says, I'm your father. And so Jesus is giving us an ultimatum and an alternative. You can seek after all of the stuff that ain't satisfying you anyway, and for most of us seems to escape our grasp, because none of us are as rich as we want to be. None of us look as good as we want to look. None of us feel as good as we want to feel. And even if we feel like that now, how many of you would be honest and say it feels temporary? And so what happens is then you begin to start, even on a subconscious level, pursuing how you can hold on to the good vibes you're feeling now. But Jesus says, don't. That's what pagans do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, great, Jesus. What is the kingdom? If you've been around church long enough, you've probably heard people, oh, that's a kingdom principle or kingdom this or kingdom that. But what is the kingdom? Well, here's what the kingdom is. As simple as possible. The kingdom of God is the reign and rule of God in our lives and on the earth. Because we know his throne is in heaven. God reigns in heaven. Sin did not enter into heaven and thus throw off God's rule in the heavenly places. But when mankind, Adam and Eve, sinned here on earth as God's co-regents, his co-rulers of their... I want you to think about this. This is why you feel like you're made for more and feel frustrated because you don't see it. Because humankind was created to co-rule with God on the earth. But because we were incomplete, meaning not perfect, meaning not eternal, meaning we were created, We were prone to failure. And so when a really slick tempter called the devil tricked Eve, who then encouraged Adam, mankind fell and abdicated the authority that God gave us as his co-regents in the earth. And so for that reason, the earth is now, well, prior to Jesus, was under the rule of Satan. That's why the Bible refers to him as the prince of the power of the air. Jesus himself says, the ruler of this age, that's what he calls him. But he calls him that in a sentence where he says, the ruler of this age has now been kicked out. So the kingdom of God is the reign and rule of God first in our lives. Because here's the thing, this is what I remind my kids of all the time, especially when they do something bad and then they blame the other one for why they did something bad. None of us do that. Just kids, just my kids, just them pastor's kids, right? I tell my kids, are like, you know, this teacher gave me a grade. Look, here's what you have to remember. The only thing you can control is you, and if you're honest, you're not that good at that. And so we need God's reign and rule in our own lives. But that's not just some metaphorical spiritual la-di-da that God wants. Jesus didn't just die for you, he died for the whole cosmos. And so wherever the reign and rule of God is not evidenced and witnessed, Jesus wants it back. There's a quote from a pastor who also became the prime minister of the Netherlands. Well, I thought Christianity was supposed to stay out of politics. You didn't read the Bible. Christianity is absolutely supposed to influence politics. But not for Republican principles and not for Democrat principles, but kingdom principles, because that's where the king rules. But this is what this gentleman, Abraham Kuyper, said about the kingdom of God. He said, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. And so when Jesus says to seek the kingdom of God, what he's saying is, I want you to seek actively, seek after the role of God in your life. And after you get this under control by giving him control, then start to see the kingdom advance out into the world around you. Can somebody say amen? Communities are objectively better when Christians bring the kingdom to bear in them. Proverbs chapter 11, I believe it is, says this: by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. And that's not just standing over your city and blessing the city, which I've done from this. There's a cemetery over behind Kentucky Fried Chicken. I grew up at the bottom of the cemetery. But from that cemetery, you can see all of the city of Pittsburgh. And I've spoken blessings over the Mon Valley region and over this city. It's not just about speaking blessing over it. It's about being salt and light within it and bringing a blessing from it, because the kingdom of God is inside of you. See, and that's what Jesus is trying to explain to the Pharisees in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. He says this: the kingdom doesn't come with your careful observation. What does that mean? One, it's not something that you can really observe. Jesus kind of hits on this in John chapter 3 when he's explaining to Nicodemus how someone can be born again, right? Nicodemus is like, what do I got to do to see the kingdom? He's like, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And Nicodemus gets real dumb, even though he's like one of the smartest dudes in Israel. He's like, how can a man enter his mother's womb? It's like, bro, did you really think that's what Jesus was saying? That's where your mind went, weirdo. But Jesus says you got to be born from above, or born of the Spirit. And then he like kind of sidetracks, but it connects directly to it. He says this. He says, the wind blows where it will. No one knows where it's going, and no one knows where it comes from. And then he ties it back in and he says, and this is how people born of the Spirit are. And you're like, Well, I just wanted a practical explanation. Can 2026 be the year where Christianity kicks practicality out of the driver's seat? Can you do that with me? Because that's what I'm doing. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And as long as I am the chief clown of this circus, I want to see the things of God, the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God in advance. And so it's not that we're putting practicality out of the car. It's just going to take a back seat to the things of God. Because here's the reality about kingdom practicality. You know what? I want to see heaven on earth. There's four-headed creatures in heaven. Could you imagine an 18-foot four-headed creature? Or how about this? Other creatures in heaven, six wings covered in eyeballs. What does heaven sound like? Oh, no, it sounds like a mighty rushing wind, like a tumult in a storm. See, heaven is different. And until we get tired of the same thing, we'll never let heaven make things different. That's why we have to seek first the kingdom of God, because it doesn't come with your careful observation. It's not something that you can see. You have never seen wind. You've only ever seen the effects of it. See, and that's why some of you struggle with Christianity, because you want to see it. No, you see the effects of it. You know an effect of Christianity? When you supernaturally don't desire to get high anymore. Not only is it possible, it's probable if you surrender yourself to the rule of the king. And even if it's tough, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says it like this, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. You desiring things that are not of God is common, but here's the thing, you're not common. But it goes on, but God is faithful. See, you gotta have a but God in your sentence. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you could bear. That does not mean that God will never give you more than you can handle. You can't get stronger lifting lighter weight. Here's your fitness goals for 2026. No, he'll never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But check it out. This is how good he is. This is 1 Corinthians 10:13. He'll also provide a way of escape even if you can't bear it. See, but the kingdom doesn't come with you won't be able to see it. You'll sense it. And so we're doing this series so that we can enhance our senses to spiritual things because our hearts have become dull. But it also doesn't come with our careful observation in this way. Are you ready for this? You don't get to stand around and spectate. Now, the seeker sensitivity movement in America has made Christianity a spectator sport, and that's why our world looks worse than it did with the best resources than it's ever had. And if you want game Christianity, there's tons of churches that'll let you come and play Christian. It's not working. It's not. And I didn't give my life to a feeble and weak king who's okay with you letting you keep a piece of you, but he's the one who sees it and touches it and says, mine. And he will have everything that he paid for, whether you give it to him or not. Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to chase all of you out of here before the next one. Because I'd rather build with people that want to build than to appease people that want to watch when I'm called to build a kingdom that doesn't come with observation. He's a king. See, and here's the thing about the kingdom, guys. Hear me. We don't enter the kingdom and think we can change it. That would be like entering a country and not wanting to follow its laws. hey, I want to come here and say, I hate this place. See, you don't enter the kingdom to change it. The kingdom enters you to change you. That's why Jesus says to the Pharisees, the kingdom does not come with your careful observation, but it is within you. It's in your midst. And so if we want to see the reign and rule of God happen in our earth, first we have to seek it for our own lives, and then we have to release it from our lives into the world around us. You know how you do that? Prayer, worship, there's all of these spiritual things. Here's a way you can try to release the kingdom. Be the best employee at your place of employment. Or be the best employer at your company of ownership. Be the best mom, be the best dad, be the best neighbor. Show up to church early and stay late. Find a place to serve. Stop holding on to your money like it's yours and asking God where you want him to put it. There's your 2026 goals if you didn't have any. To seek first the kingdom means to endeavor for, look for, investigate, strive for before all else with the highest rank of priority. Tread lightly. Some of you are like, you already have passed lightly. Some of you are seeking a spouse, and I commend that. Because he who finds a wife finds a good thing in favor from the Lord. But here's where I will challenge you. Pagans run after that. Seek first the kingdom and watch God add your spouse to you. I'm looking for a promotion or a new job. Go to Indeed second, but seek with highest priority the kingdom and watch God. My God, what if we just got back to seeking the first things first? That's why we're doing this. God wants to bless you. But he cannot bless you if he cannot trust you. And why would he give you the things that are of highest priority to him, namely his kingdom and all of its benefits, if his kingdom is not a high priority to you? But if you make it, shucks out. God has something amazing for you. So why is it important to prioritize spiritual things in our lives? Just a couple things and then I'm out of your way. A couple things. First and foremost, John chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus speaking, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Actually, verse 23, the verse right before this says this. These are the true worshipers, and these are the ones that the Father is seeking. And I love this because you know why? I've searched the entirety of Scripture. Scripture is clear. God sees everything. See, that there is no thing. Hebrews chapter 4 says this. There is no thing that is hidden from his sight. So your secret sin isn't secret. Your secret depression isn't secret. Your secret hopelessness and despair. Your secret hatred and anger, it's not secret. God sees it and he wants to help you with it. But see, even though God's eyes see everything, I've only found three things. I'm gonna give them to you right now. That God actively seeks for, right? Like I can see everybody in this room, but if I wanted to seek out Mike, I'd have to get down off the stage and go look for him, and oh, there he is. God sees everything, but he seeks after three things. You ready for this? First, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. So lost people is who God's seeking for. Maybe you would feel God's eyes seeking for you more found person if you stopped waiting for him to look at you and started looking for the ones he's looking for. You'll catch his gaze. He came to seek and to save the lost. Number two, Second Chronicles. Chronicles. Or for some of you that are phonetic, Chronicles. Chapter 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the whole earth. So he sees everything, but he's actively looking for this. This is what he's looking for. The eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a heart that is fully committed to him. Not partially, not an hour and a half out of 7 days a week. Fully committed to him. Why? So that he might give them strong support. So God is looking for the lost. God is looking for hearts that are fully committed to him so he might support them. And the third one is right here, John chapter 4, verse 24. He's looking for true worshipers. But see, the reason why we want to prioritize spiritual things in our lives as we move into 2026 is because God is spirit. If you want to get on God's radar a little bit more this year, commit yourself to spiritual things. He sees you. He loves you. You ever go to a sporting event and they get like the little hype interns out there and they're like, woo, and they're like, and they got one of them. I always wanted to be this one. It's the cool guy or the mascot. And they get that pneumatic gun. And just the sound of that thing, boom. Boom. And they shoot one of two things. And the choices often mess me up. They shoot t-shirts, which are great. They shoot hot dogs. Does anybody want a hot dog shot out of a gun? Because I can guarantee you this. That hot dog has not seen anything to warm it for at least 25 to 27 solid minutes. It is so full of nitrate and sodium. It might not even be meat, guys. We'll have to get RFK to look into this stuff. But this t-shirt costs like a nickel, right? It's like the spider ring at Chuck E. Cheese. You drop $48, your kid got a half a pack of Tic Tacs and a spider ring. But as soon as that crew shows up with that gun, the crowd, oh, oh me! They don't even know your size, bro. They see everybody in the crowd, but only are able to shoot it to a couple. What am I trying to say? Commit yourself to spiritual things, and I guarantee you, God's got his sights on you. Well, I thought God loves everybody. Yeah, he loves everybody. He just likes me more. I ain't afraid to say it. It's biblical. There's a whole book in the Bible written by a dude who doesn't even refer to himself by his name. He just calls himself Beloved. You want to feel the Beloved anointed in your life? Commit yourself to spiritual things. Could you imagine wanting spiritual blessing and not doing spiritual things? I would like to eat a steak, but not go to a steakhouse. And no, Chili's and Applebee's don't count. And then having the audacity to complain that you didn't get a steak because you didn't go to a steakhouse. It's the same. I want spiritual blessings, but I don't do anything spiritual. Secondly, and this segues, it dovetails right into this. Here's the reason why we want to prioritize spiritual things. Not just in 2026 or at the beginning of the year, but our entire lives. You ready for this? Because our blessings are rooted in spiritual places. Here's a couple of scriptures. John chapter 3, verse 27. This is John the Baptist speaking. He says, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. Well, I've been receiving some stuff that don't seem that heavenly. Don't worry, got a verse for that. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift. See, some of the non-heavenly gifts that you're receiving not only are not from heaven, they're from the harvest that you sowed into last season. See, and some of y'all are coming to God in 2026. You got your seed in the ground, but your seed is weeds. It ain't flowers, and you want God to bless your weeds. This is why your yard's just full of dandelions. Every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. Coming down. So that means that there's a transition from where they are to where we need them and want them. Number three. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, one of my favorite scriptures. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, has, it's already happened, who has blessed us with what? Every, that means all, spiritual blessings, but here's the caveat, in heavenly places in Christ. So there's blessings for you there. You want them here. James tells us that they come down from there to here. The question is, how do we get the transition to happen? We commit ourselves to spiritual things. You can't get spiritual blessings unless you endeavor and delight and dive into spiritual things. You will get zero blessings from Instagram. I'm preaching to myself. I am a real aficionado, an emperor of memery, the jester of GIFs, and yes, it's GIFs, not GIF. See, that's, some of y'all are getting heavenly GIFs, not heavenly GIFs with a T on it. See, everything we long for, look for, and strive for in our lives have heavenly sources and come from heavenly places. That job. Man, if we learn to submit ourselves to where God wants us to be, the Bible says your gift will make room for you. See, some of us just don't want the jobs that God wants us to do. I wrestle with this. Why? Because I don't want my kids to be in ministry. Can I be honest with you? In all honesty, this is very, very hard. And it don't pay that great. But see, the reality of it is, my blessings don't come from a paycheck. My blessings don't come from the comfort zone of my job. My blessings come from walking in obedience. And I wouldn't want to do anything else than what I'm doing. And so now as a parent, I have a responsibility of helping my children find where in the kingdom of God my kids fit instead of helping them build a kingdom of self. This is why back in the olden days when Christianity had power, and I can say that because I've been in Christianity 21 years now, vocational ministry for 15 of it, volunteer ministry for 6 of it, and I've studied the history of the church. Christianity in America is powerless, and it's because we stopped sacrificing for the kingdom and started building kingdoms to self. But there's a world that's waiting for the joy that only you can bring it. You know, most of the major innovative inventions in medicine and technology over the last several centuries have come from people that know God. Where do you think they got that idea from? They didn't read it in a book. They got it deposited in them from heaven. God wants to do the same for you. I'm going to have the worship team come up. This new year, we're going to seek spiritual things. Jeremiah 29, 13. Everybody loves Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the plans. That's a good New Year scripture, ain't it? For I know the plans that I have for you. And all of y'all are writing your own plans. Won't you ask God? Hey, God, what do you got for me? That'd be a good God, what do you got for me? Right? We all love Jeremiah 29, 11. But watch this. Jeremiah 29, 13, just two verses later, says this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is why you don't know the plans that he has for you, because you haven't sought him with all your heart. And the crazy thing about seeking him with all your heart, it unlocks 2 Chronicles 16:9, the strong support. Why? Because your whole heart's committed to him. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Stop working so hard for what God wants to give you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, the Holy Spirit could have inspired the author of Hebrews to put anything in there. Without hard work, without a good education, without having a good family, without sobriety, without growing up in a good neighborhood. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter what you struggled with. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. With faith, all things are possible. But without it, it's impossible to please God. See, some of you right now, God's already readjusting your 2026 vision board. Oh, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because anyone who comes to him must believe in him. What if Christians started living like they believed that their God is the Father of heavenly lights from whom every good and perfect gift comes down from? What if Christians started living like everything they need is already theirs in heavenly places? What if? So you gotta have faith. You gotta believe, not just that he exists, right? Because if you believe that he exists, you have to believe the next part. What? That he rewards those who diligently seek him. Look, you don't got to read the whole thing, but read something. Jesus says every jot and tittle. So even if you read like a letter, there's anointing on it. But why stop? Read the whole word. Then read the sentence. And then read the paragraph. And before you know it, your heart feels connected to the source. This time I'm going to release the folks that are getting baptized, and if I could have an usher go and get Christine. Oh, they already got, Dave already said they're here. This is what happens when you preach long. Everything's already ready. . 2026 is the year of the Spirit. Capital S. Power of life and death is in the tongue. I'm decreeing and declaring that 2026 is the year of the Spirit. Why? I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart can fully conceive or comprehend of of all the good things that God has prepared for those who love him. You have no idea. Oh, you have no idea. But you can, because of what verse 10 says. But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who knows the mind of a man except the spirit of that man? Therefore, no one knows the mind of God but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, lowercase s, but the Spirit who is from God, and I'll add, who is God, that we might, watch this, understand the things freely given us by God. Next verse. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom. Yeah, I graduated top of my class from Bible college, but what you've heard today is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, reminding you that there is more than this fleshly, temporal, corporeal things. Luminous beings are we. These aren't words that are taught to us by human wisdom. These are words taught by the Spirit. Watch this, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person doesn't accept them. Why? Because they're foolishness to him. That's why some of you, I don't know why he yells so much. I don't know what he's talking about, but some of you right now, there's a quickening. You know you're made for more. You know that there is more for you. And if you would just commit 2026 to spiritual things, you'll find your every spiritual blessing that's been purchased for you in heavenly places in Christ. Because they're spiritually discerned. See, some of you have actually spent most of 2025 looking at blessings, calling them curses because you didn't discern it spiritually. Some of you have looked at tragedy and heartbreak and different things and you said, God is angry at me. God is saying, no, this isn't a setback. It's a setup. Some of you have been looking at opportunities that seem too good to be true. And you know why? Because they're not true. God has something spiritually discernible that if you would tap in this new year, you'll discover. Last couple verses. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is to be judged by no one. Now, don't go home and say, you can't judge me. Pastor said you can't judge me. No. You can't be judged by natural wisdom. Because, look, Noah spent 100 years of his life building a massive craft for a problem that nobody had ever seen. The Bible said it had not rained on the earth. 100 years of his life to build a boat where there was no rain to save himself and seven other people. If we ran that through an American metric of corporate success, everyone would look and say that it was a failure. But the problem with that is this: you're only here to say it because Noah did it. Some of what God is calling you to do in 2026 is going to look foolish and preposterous, but it's spiritually discerned. Because the spiritual person judges all things, but he himself, they're not subject to judgment. For who has understood the mind of the Lord to instruct him? But watch this. But we have the mind of Christ. I know people who spend exorbitant amounts of money and exorbitant amounts of time to get into rooms and spaces business people, intellectual people, creatives, influencers. They spend money and time just to get in the room with around other people that think bigger than them and better than them and have more success than them, because it makes them more successful. I mean, big money just to get a half an hour with the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. We have access to the mind of Christ. My question to you this morning is this: what price will you pay to get in the room with him? Because you don't have to fly anywhere, and he doesn't take cash, check, or debit. The church does. Why do that? But you know what he takes? A broken and contrite heart. He takes time. Time in his presence, time in his word, time in worship, time in prayer. And in a moment, some of our amazing people are going to let you know we've got it set up for you this the beginning of this year. Prayer and fasting, worship nights, Bible reading plans, times to get together with other people to discern spiritually what God is doing, not just in your life, but in the world around you, and how he wants you to be a part of it. So I'm going to let them tell it better than I can, because we got two amazing young ladies who are going to be taking their next step, water baptism, because of what Jesus did in their life. Lindsay and Royanne.